What up, guys? Welcome to the Winning Circle. It's your boy Nico 100 out here chilling with Patrick Daly.
Hello.
And Turtle.
What up?
The Winning Circle is a place where we talk about winning. And even when we lose, we find a way to use that for winning the future.
Whether it's current events, mental health issues, or anything that's on our minds, this is a platform for us to share, speak, and learn.
So let's get it started. Let's go.
Hey, what it do, baby?
Back again.
Back again, boys. How we been? Yeah. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great today.
Doing great.
Those are very, very subtle greats and not too excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like, you know, wowed. I'm not overwhelmed.
You could have said good. I said it great.
No, I'm doing great, though. I'm great.
All right.
A little sweaty. You know, sweaty side, honestly.
Feeling a little thin, you know, a little thinner now.
Okay. Somebody's fishing for compliments. All right. You look good, baby. You look good. Man, let me tell y'all something. I got a little crazy story for you guys.
What up?
Let's hear it.
And I want to hear something. I want to hear y'all, if anything crazy has happened to you guys, okay?
All right.
So the other day, I'm chilling. You know what I'm saying? Your boys been working out. I'm tired. Ready to go to sleep. Go inside. Pops tells me, yo, your mom's stuck in the elevator. What the fuck? What my mom doing stuck in the elevator, man? We go to her job. She got stuck in the elevator at work. She was there for an hour, dude.
What?
Crazy as hell. Crazy. I felt so bad for my mom. Cause I thought she was in there just chilling on Facebook, chatting it up, but now, you know, I didn't really think about like the anxiety and the pressure you get when you're in there.
Hell yeah.
And
yeah,
it gets hot. Elevators be getting hot and all that. I felt so bad. You know, but shout out to my mama. She's a queen. She's a soldier. She survived. Shout out to the fire department and the firemen for helping her out.
Wow. So it was all that. Okay. So yeah. Okay, cool. First question, how tall is the building?
3 stories.
And where was she at?
First floor.
Okay.
So luckily there was no scare or danger
of falling
and going nowhere. She just got in it. She said she got in the elevator, hit the button, nothing happened. She's like, all right, whatever. She's like, she said she told the elevator, she's like, I work here, you better work. And it did. The elevator was like, nah, not today.
Yeah, that's terrifying, dude.
Yeah,
because the first thing you think is like, how long is this gonna last?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, at first she said she wasn't too scared. She was kind of chilling. She's like, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Was her phone working?
Yeah, luckily. So she was able to call her coworkers and the manager or whatever her job to tell them, hey, I'm stuck in this. But she started getting nervous once the fire department came because I guess they tried to like pry it open and she could hear them go,
shaking it.
It's not working. But she was like, what? Why y'all saying that so low?
Let's just leave.
She said, she's like, yeah, I can hear them go like, yo, man, it's not working. We need to try something else. Like, but we there already tried something else. That's when she started getting nervous.
Plan B, we got to fill it up with cement and just move on.
So anything like that ever happened to you guys? Something crazy like that? Get stuck somewhere? Just wondering, how would y'all react?
Well, I've been stuck in this elevator in this building we currently are in. Which, in my opinion, is the slowest elevator in...
Also kind of tiny.
The city of Los Angeles. And, bro, I've never, the whole time I've lived here, gone in there and had it have an up-to-date inspection sticker on there. It's always, like, 1-2 years behind.
Ripping, falling apart.
So, you're just like, this off the bat, you're like, this thing is not...
Yeah.
This is sketches. One time I was here in my apartment, and I heard... a bell ringing, like a school bell.
Oh shit.
And apparently that's what the alarm in the elevator sounds like.
Oh shit.
Someone else was stuck in it. And like we went out there, me and my girl, and he was like, I'm stuck. So we like texted. I came back inside. I was like, all right, we notified people. I'm over this. But
you're like, we did our part.
But it only took, I think it only took like 10 minutes to figure it out. I mean, like an hour, that's just.
Well, maybe that's the type. Maybe that elevator is a type of, you know, like the old TV. Sometimes you just got to hit it.
Yeah,
see,
just like,
yeah. The guy just came, gave it a good kick. I was like, oh, there it goes, up and running again.
Ignore the sticker on the inside that says hasn't been checked since 1957.
I got stuck in a warehouse elevator, so it's just like the biggest one.
Oh shit!
But it didn't go that. It went great for me because I was hungover. So like. I was just,
would be the worst. If I was hungover and got stuck in an elevator, I'd just be like, all right, I'm just gonna kill myself.
He was like, I'm gonna take a nap.
I took a fucking nap. I was like,
I'm assuming you were at work because it's a warehouse.
It was, I was at work.
He was like, I don't gotta work.
I texted the manager. You're like, we're gonna help you get out. Like, take your time. And then I just knocked out. And then I just see them open it. Like, what are you doing? You know, just waiting for you guys.
Fell asleep. What else am I gonna do?
I felt well after that nap.
That's wow. that was the man upstairs looking out for you, bro.
You know, hey, listen, this is a man that takes opportunities whenever they hand it to him. You know, what is it? Life gives you lemons, turn it into lemonade.
Yeah, he did that.
Turtle was fully
When I am hungover, my anxiety is at like its peak. So the last thing that I would need would be, I guess those are more spacious elevators.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and it was only an empty. It was empty because I had just dropped off the load upstairs, so it was just completely empty.
Dropped off. Speaking of that, you guys seen the video where the lady was stuck in a elevator in a hotel that was closed or something. I don't know what the circumstances
were. Oh, shit.
She was in there for like 28 hours.
Oh, shit.
And she like had to dookie in the corner and stuff, and like,
oh, dookie in the corner, and you had to stay there and
smell your own dookie.
Yeah, dude. Shit. I think she probably got paid out after that.
Oh, she definitely should have. Hopefully, yeah, 28 hours. Yeah.
Knowing stories like that, that's my first stop. If an elevator even like does something, I'm like, ah, this is it. I'm here. Yeah. I'm gonna be here.
I go straight to that horrible movie that was out like 5 years ago.
Oh, the M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one is that?
Devil.
This devil, and it's like six people in an elevator, and it turns out that the grandma was actually Satan or something like that.
What the fuck?
The elevator gets stuck, and then it's like six ordinary people, but one of them is the devil or something. I don't know.
So you're trying to figure out who's like, it's like a mind game, right? Like, okay, you can't trust nobody, da, 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 da. And you know, the movie tries to like make you be like, oh, the poor old lady, just for you to find out that the lady's actual the devil. Yeah. Mm. So
that's a class. That director always has those kind of twists.
Wasn't that good? It's a solid TV like, and you're going through the channels. Mm. It's a solid one of those. You know, like,
it's ambitious, man. It's tough to make a movie that takes place in an elevator.
Nobody's talking about his ambition. I was just saying the movies are solid, you know. Watch it when you ain't doing nothing better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
A for effort, right?
A for effort.
Yeah.
C, solid C for actual results.
Yeah, but it's a solid C. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But speaking about my opinion on that movie, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you boys, when have you learned to not give a fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to give you context, right? When I was in high school, I cared a lot about what people thought about me. I cared a lot, you know, being liked or if I was cool. I remember certain situations doing things that in my mind I didn't think were morally correct, but I did them anyway because I wanted to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of turning into a mindset of like not caring what other people think of you, right? And since we're doing something on the public format, there's going to be opinions, comments, negative and positive criticism that we might not take lightly, you know what I mean? Have you guys had that switch yet where, you know, I feel like we're a little older where you just don't care what other people's opinion are about you or, you know, something like that?
Yeah. I definitely, first and foremost, I'm able to classify people under the two categories if I should care or shouldn't care about what you think.
Right.
And the vast majority of people, I don't know you, you don't know me, I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. There's some people that I respect them and their opinions, so obviously
I think that's a good thing to say, right? Some people's opinions you respect, because I got to a point, right, where at first I got kind of cared too much and I kind of caught myself when I realized that it was kind of being negative towards me and my growth. But then I got into a mindset was like, fuck everybody.
Yeah,
right? Like, fuck everybody, fuck what you got to think about me. And it was cool in a competitive sense because I was like, you can't tell me I can't make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? But that was, I didn't turn too, it off too for everything
extreme,
else.
Too extreme in the wrong
other It was direction. Just way too intense. Some people were telling me things for the better of me, but I wasn't taking it in that way. You know, and I was an asshole because of that, because I was like, nah, only I got me. You don't understand. It's just me and God, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like that, that Browns cornerback who just got cut because someone was criticizing him for the way he played. And he went off crazy. He was like, said some gang related stuff. I'm gonna kill you. I'll kill you. I'll shoot you to like these reporters. And then afterwards on Instagram, he has a caption and it's like, hey, this is a message to myself. Like, stay up, young king. Don't listen to what the haters have to say. All this stuff. And it's like, no, in this case, you should probably be listening to what people are telling you because you're acting like an idiot.
Yeah,
right. Like, I think that's a fine line that we don't understand. I knew it was hard for me to understand criticism, right? And like a sometimes, I mean, it sounds right. Like, the word sounds kind of rough. Criticism, you're getting critiqued or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not always negative. It's trying to make you better at something you want to be good at. You know? Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if you guys had something in your life, one situation where you feel like, because definitely in high school, I know anybody in high school, or it's now even younger. That's the
number one, like, social pressure situation.
Yeah. Now even younger, definitely with social media, because I remember when Instagram was first popping, and now it's a normal thing. Mm-hmm. Right, I was like, damn, how many likes you got?
Yeah.
You know, this is and this. And I remember, it's embarrassing to admit, but I remember deleting some pictures because I'm like, that didn't get enough likes. It wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I didn't realize it was really just me wanting to, what's the word for it? I just wanted to.
So my opinion of criticism and people who give their unsolicited opinion about what you're doing comes from an insecurity.
Yep.
And so you're looking for validation that what you did was right. The way you were living your life is right. So when someone else is doing different stuff than how you did it, you are going to speak up and be like, yo, that's wrong. You're doing it wrong. And
right.
Because you feel like, oh, did I do it wrong? Like, you're afraid of that.
Yeah.
So that fear and that insecurity. But that's like the unsolicited people who don't know you or don't know you well enough to make those kind. A lot of times, though, people, friends, homies will just be like, bro, you know, you might be doing this too much or something. And then that's actual.
Right.
That's constructive criticism that's meant to
help you
and improve you.
Yeah.
For me, I think I go now as a, you know, it's what I was going to say is, I don't mind criticism, to be honest, because I can't control you.
Right.
I don't have no control of other person's thoughts or anything. But one thing I really look at is how much present they are when they're saying these things to me or anything to.
You're trying to say, like, when they tell you something, are they trying to tell you something because it's like an observation or if it's coming from something else?
Yeah, exactly.
Type of thing.
And
right?
if you're aware enough, to see that, you'll be like, oh, this person.
What do you mean, like, aware enough?
You can see when someone's hurting and they're just trying to throw negativity out to you. And if you catch it, criticism goes back and forth. You start arguing. It ends up being like that.
You get defensive.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just something they come from when not being present. They don't want to deal with something. So they just lash out and criticize.
It takes time to hone that skill, though, to be able to differentiate. And sometimes, you know, a really evolved way of thinking, and something I don't do every time, is to not respond negatively when someone's lashing out at you negatively, giving you undue criticism, and to just kind of be like what you just said, like, what's going on here? Why is he saying this?
Yeah.
And then addressing it with them, like, yo, you all right? Like, what?
Right.
Where's that coming from? This seems like it's coming from something else.
Like, how do you really feel? What's really going on type?
But you can't really talk to them when it's going on also, because their mood level is very low, you know, to compare to when they're high and positive. So if you try to talk to somebody when they're low, you know.
It's like their walls are up. They got closed doors.
Don't fucking talk to them.
It might not be the best time to get resolution, but it's good to at least make them aware.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're doing it without realizing what you're doing. Sometimes you're lashing out negatively, and then someone will say, like, yo, I don't know what your fucking problem is, but it's not my problem. And then you'll just be like, oh, damn, I was being weird, you know?
Oh, you know, I got an example. Like, when I'm at work or I'm doing something work-related, you know, I've taken a lot of pride in my work. So whenever somebody tells me, or like, when I get a job done, I'm proud of it. I'm like, hell yeah, I did that. And somebody tells me, hey, next time maybe try doing this. A lot of times in my head, I'm like, the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fuck? Like, I did this. You want to do it? You come and do it. And then the next week or whatever, when I'm like, let me try what he said. And I do it. I'm like, God damn, God he was damn. Right. Yeah. You know? So it's hard.
Well, it's and hard. There is, on the flip side of that, there's a skill being able to deliver criticism in a way that people will be more receptive to it and to not feel like they're being attacked.
See, that's... As a trying to be a motivational speaker, I'm trying to learn because there's different, everyone's different language,
yeah,
how to speak. So for me, it's like, oh, this is probably a wrong word to use to this person, mm-hmm. but it would work with, you know, just example for you and, you know, Nick. I would have to probably switch it up in some words, you know, because you guys are not the different same person. Different
terminology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, because sometimes I try explaining myself, especially to Turtle. You know, we have some deeper conversations every once in a while. And I say something that in my head, I think it's clear as day. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's like, wait, what? Or takes it a different way. And I'm like, nah, bro, it's this. And I had to like break it down. It's like, well, why didn't you just say it like this? Or, oh, what you mean is this, you know? So it's like, it's a different way of communicate. And I realize that sometimes when I say things, I think I'm trying to be helpful, but I sound like a dick.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that's a personal problem with me.
It's hard. It's hard. Yeah. And it's also hard when, because it's not just the terminology, but it's also like what you were saying, Turtle, is the, like the, where you're at. If you're present while you're delivering the criticism. So like if someone's doing the wrong thing at the bar and what they're doing is making my job harder. So now I'm feeling some type of way about that and I'm going to come at them.
Right.
Like kind of whack, even though what I'm saying is here's how you should do this. And it's going to help them if they just do what I'm saying. But because I'm in my feelings about them making my job harder, now I'm coming at them in the wrong way.
Yeah. The pettiness.
The tone. Yeah. Everything's just, you know, a little off than normal, right?
You have to analyze it, dude. You can't. I think you can't. It's not just you're born with it.
Right. I think the ability to differentiate. Skill.
Even on both sides. You have to acquire the skill to tell who and whose opinion does and doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you also need to develop the skill to deliver criticism in a positive way. That's not.
I was going to say, what is your guys' tolerance of getting, not criticism, but actually getting, you know, I guess in another way, I would say like getting talked down to in a way, but you know that this person is probably like not well right now. And it is a mood level very low. Like, what is your tolerance for you not to bark back in a way with your?
Well,
you
know? It depends on who they are to me. You know, okay. what like if that's my boss, I'm just gonna sit there and shut the hell up.
Shut up.
Like, or if it's the homie, then we're gonna, you know, I'm not gonna retaliate in any way. But later on, we're gonna have a discussion.
Okay,
just like, yo, the other day, man, that was. Like you came at me like really aggressive. I want to know what was up with that.
Right.
But if it's someone who I don't care about, then you can say anything you want to say. I'm just going to hang out with you less. I'm going to just not be around you.
I like that.
Yeah, you see, but I think that it takes a while to learn that because especially depends. I think the key word right here would be being present because before with me, if you were somebody I don't know and you talked down to me, it was like a pet peeve of mine. But I'd like strike back immediately. Whereas like, oh, you feel that way? Let's see how you feel outside then. You know?
Right. And yeah.
And obviously it led me to more problems than it did resolutions, you know, or solutions, whatever. Solution. You know, we out here rhyming. Damn, New Year's resolution. Damn, now I'm last one. Okay. But
you
so
got, you took, got bars though.
It took me a while to recognize that, and really what helped was with my friends, because sometimes my friends would tell me something and I'm like, man, I don't want to beat up my friend, because
right.
Obviously I'm gonna beat everybody up and I'm gonna win every single time because I never lose triple beats.
And that's what the winning circle is all about.
Oh yeah.
Winning and street fights.
No, sarcasm aside, you know, but that I was like, yeah, why are you talking to me like that, bro? You know, and funny enough, it would hurt my feelings, but I wouldn't talk about that, right? To me, it was just being tough, but I'm like, yo, why my friend talk down to me like that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, and then I'd had to separate myself for like a week or 2 weeks because I knew that if I didn't, I was going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I'd retaliate or I'd find something that they did wrong and just like expose it and exaggerate it, you know, to get them back. And that's what it was subconsciously.
Trying to make them feel the way that they made you feel.
Yeah. So I think that was me not being present. At all, not being aware of what I was really doing, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, some people call it taking the high road. And you know, it's so tough to take the high road. But I don't think it's high road or low road. I think it's just being more aware and caring. And if it's someone you care about, then you're going to go out your way to care. And if it's someone you don't care about, then there's no point in bringing more negativity into your life by retaliating,
right?
You're better off just removing yourself from the situation. Yeah.
So what I started doing to, I guess it has helped me out for almost about like going on 3 years now, is I got this gold gem. I feel one of my friends I was talking to, they're like, I talked to one of my close friends, like, he's a brother to me, with all respect. Even we, if we come at each other, like, it's still respect.
Yeah.
And I got this one big gem that has been very helpful for me, which is talk to everyone like you're talking to him. And honestly, I take the high road all the time with people, because I just look at him, I was like, that's my friend. Like, they're not here to help or hurt you or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it's, like you said, it's a high road or anything. It's just more of like, just be kind with one another and stuff like that.
I think, yeah, I like that. Because really, at the end of the day, it's really how you react. Like, what is that going to help? You know, if you react negatively or if you bark back, like, how is that going to make the situation better?
It feeds your ego. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, ego's crazy. Ego's definitely crazy. Because that's the reason why I wanted to fight for no reason. Yeah. You know? I was just like, all right, bro.
The tight thing is, either way, at the end of the day, you go home and you live with yourself.
Yeah.
One way or another. And so it doesn't matter if you barked back or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going home. And this is different than like what you were talking about, talking to someone who's like your brother, whether it's blood or not blood. Mm-hmm. You know, that's different. And there's a lot more leeway there. And it's a lot more complicated. And feelings do get hurt more easily. But if it's just, you know, a one-off, someone talking to you the wrong way, I mean, the reaction doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, I think I didn't think about that till right now that you said that, but that's one of my main reactions, right? When I let my ego take over or whatever, and I react negatively whenever I go home and I'm calm, like I'm over it, you know, I'm no longer breathing out fumes, I'm relaxed. It's always that conversation, man, why'd I do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate regret, you know, and it's like, that was unnecessary. Like, I could have handled that differently.
And that's more damaging than any pride blow you could have taken.
Yeah, so I definitely think that's some advice for everybody to think about. Is how do you take that home? How are you going to sleep after deciding to do that? I mean, that's a hard thing to think about at the moment. It's a lot, you know? Like, how am I going to feel later, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a practice makes perfect type thing there.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You just, I mean, nobody is perfect. And if you did that yesterday, lashed out at somebody, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you got to practice more. And it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, like, I think everybody learns. A lot of practice.
I'm 30. A lot of practice.
Yeah, I think everybody learns in their own way. Because like with mine, it was the I don't give a fuck attitude that kind of taught me. You know, because I wasn't allowing anybody in. And I wasn't allowing anybody to care or love or like accept that. You know, I was like, fuck that. There was one of those comically fuck love people. You know, I was like.
Yeah, and some people are made that way through circumstance, you know?
Right.
And it's tragic, but that's how they learn to survive.
Right. Yeah.
And it sucks, but it's also, you are living true to yourself in every moment.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is if you're a shitty person, then living true to that self kind of is not ideal.
Bumpy, bumpy road.
Yeah. But if you're a good person, then you can go pretty far living with that kind of mantra of, you know, it's selfish, but what I think is what matters most.
Yeah. You know, I had the opposite where it was like, because my I don't give a fuck was kind of negative, you know, where it was like, fuck you, it's only me, you know.
Yeah.
And then what tripped me out was like older women, they also have that I don't give a fuck attitude. But it's not like a negative thing. You just tell them whatever and they don't care because they're living their own lives. You know, like they're still happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, why are you giving money to that homeless person? Just because. You shouldn't be doing that. Oh, okay. And you just go on about your day and catch them the next day doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like they have a kind of, I wouldn't say positive, but they don't take criticism in. They just don't listen to you because they have their own way. So I was like, yo, there's a different I don't give a fuck mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, how could I morph that to help me out? You know what I'm saying? So on that note, like, any advice or anything that you think helped you out, a turning point in your life, something you might want to tell somebody, like, you know, his gem, talk to everybody the way, like, if it was a close friend or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Talk to everybody like that's your brother is awesome. And I think that's more than just criticism. That's, like, every facet of your life.
Right.
For me, the not caring, two things are very helpful for that. One was performing music in front of big crowds. And this is funny because it's kind of the opposite. It was it's not criticism. I'm just talking about opinions, period. It was not me not caring about the criticism I was receiving, because I wasn't receiving any criticism.
Right.
It was nothing but positive feedback. But I found myself not caring about that positive feedback.
Crazy.
From people that I didn't respect their opinion.
Oh.
So it's like all these people after a show come up to me and say, oh God, you're so good. You should be on the radio. I don't really care what you think. Like, I didn't write the song for you.
Oh.
You are not someone I would consider having like a really like great musical taste. So why am I
crazy? Yeah.
So it was kind of the opposite. I'm not giving a fuck about the positive.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And then another thing that really helped me was bartending. And when people are like, take a shot with me, and I'm just like not in the mood to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, nah, I'm sorry. And they're like, it's just one shot. And I'm like enough right. of that. Every time, enough of that. And I'm just like, yo, I'm not taking the shot, and I don't care. I don't care how mm-hmm. what you think of me now. I don't care about any of that. I'm not taking the fucking shot. Yes. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And so like that multiplied by 20,000 times in my whole career as a bartender, I really just don't care. I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. I don't care. So like that, being exposed to so many opinions more than the average person is something that has helped me train my ability to.
That's crazy. Yeah. 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 Take that to the social platform though. That's wild. Cause I realized kind of like that, there's people from all over the world that could get in contact with you and have an opinion about you just of what mm-hmm. they see on your social media, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like, you really got to take it down and be like, this person doesn't even know me.
Well, I mean, I think people really struggle with that. I know right. a lot of YouTubers and stuff that are just like, God, the comments are just so toxic. And it like,
right.
And then eventually you just learn how to not care about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But celebrities, exactly. everything.
Got to be careful, because that not caring can lead to even worse. You know what I mean? To turn you into an asshole. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, really, it's crazy how many people have crazy opinions online. I feel like there's that whole... what is it like? You feel like you're safe because you're behind a
anonymity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. being anonymous. You can't really pay consequences for it. It's not.
Yeah, because what am I going to go find you? And if we wanted to lash out, you can't.
Right. Go
track everybody down.
Yeah,
it's not Jay and Silent Bob, bro.
I know. I was gonna say that.
Let's find out. Shout out reboot coming out soon.
Oh man, that's wild, man. Honestly, but I think on that note, talking about caring about people's opinions and all that, I think it's a good friendly reminder. You got to remind yourself too that what you see online isn't really what's happening behind it. A lot of people are gonna put, it's like everybody's social media is basically like their highlight reel. That's the way mm-hmm. I take it.
Absolutely. Nobody's out. I mean, some people take their time out to show the real side. I feel like you do this, Turtle, on your social media. Try and be a lot more real and not be like, to be straight up, yo, this is not some edited, glamorous, this is actually the real stuff. And some people do that, but I mean, the whole purpose of social media, of Instagram and Facebook, right. was like to share the things that you were proud of, that you know, things that were dope or cool things that happened,
right,
cool places you went. And it's like, obviously, by definition, you're only sharing the best parts of your day.
Yeah, I think you got to remind yourself that. People really got to remember, like, this ain't the whole thing. Like, I know a lot of people, a lot of couples who on Instagram, it's like couple goals. Oh my God, I want to be as cute as you.
Commenting on everything.
Yeah, you know, and they're getting mad love from people. Like, oh, you guys are the cutest couple. Like, I wish me and my boyfriend or me and my girlfriend could be like that.
Yeah.
But they literally posted a photo right after having an ugly ass fight and a girl was crying and her makeup was off. Actually posted a photo just because she needed to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe she needed that affection from anonymous people online to make up with how shitty she felt in a relationship at that moment.
It comes down to kind of what I was saying before. It's the need for validation.
Yeah.
You know, the insecurity. Yeah.
Speaking about that, so Turtle, you do keep it kind of real on your, not kind of real, you keep it real on your Instagram. True. People get offended by that? Has anybody like told you anything negative about that? Because it's a little too raw, you know?
My DMs actually have been very, very unexpected, I guess. So I see some people that actually didn't like me and
right.
they said like, hey, I didn't know you were going through this.
Oh, well, for the people who don't know at all, because we're talking about your Instagram being real, but like what in your words, what do you describe as you putting out there on your Instagram? Like what is it that you would think people, what is it that people react good to? you know?
More like, I think the best one that I would say I got a good, I guess, feedback that I wasn't really expecting at all is the two abortions I went through, and what, when I wrote down like what my mind went through. So
yeah,
and women were like, hey, like, my man couldn't even talk to me because of this and that. And I was like, yeah, this is probably some of the same thoughts or a little bit more aggressive. And they're like, thank you for sharing, because we wouldn't know. And I was like, yeah, as a man, quote unquote, you can't be talking about this. And I was like, I actually like to share. You could grow. Everyone could grow from it.
Yeah, that's crazy, because nobody, you know, that's the type of thing that people kind of go by without knowing, because there's no conversation about. And that's what I'm talking about. You keeping it kind of raw, because you're not, talking
you're
about
not, like, in society, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, you're talking about something super tragic that's kind of, you know,
makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah,
to think
it's taboo.
About.
Yeah, you know, and you put it out there, and I think you didn't just put it out there. You didn't even, from my understanding correctly, it was just about you and your side about it, right? Like the situation and how you reacted and how you felt.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to protect and respect the other person, right?
Yeah. Which I got the consent to actually, you know, write what I wanted to write. I wanted her, the person, to also put the, you know, the guy, the girl version of it, but it didn't go as planned, but it's okay. Like, as long as I got her consent, knowing that what I was going to write down, it worked out with me too. And she was actually very happy how I wrote down, because actually she went through it with me. So, I mean, honestly, I think the most important thoughts, the most important thing I like that is I shared my thoughts with everyone, saying about like these suicidal thoughts.
Right.
Or, like, these voices telling me like, you'll never be a good dad. You know, you're a piece of shit. Like, nobody wants to have a family. Now that one's like the key one that hurt a lot.
Right.
Like, that one really I wanted to just, you know, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people went through it. It's just they don't talk about it.
Well, that's, I think in a sense, that's a form of therapy for you to put it out there and be open and honest. But you also, by proxy, are allowing, like, that's cool, because what I would think when I think about you posting something that like that would be other dudes who went through the same situation being like, okay, it's cool to talk about this. But you brought up something I didn't think about, which is a girl not knowing what the hell her man is thinks about the situation, being like, hearing a voice of another man,
right,
going, oh, maybe that's why he's been acting this way or doing these things or not talking to me and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you kind of helping both sides of the spectrum, which to me is crazy, because it's the exact opposite of what we're talking about. It ain't a highlight reel, but it's a truth. Yeah. And a opening a conversation.
Your lowest moments.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd like to share my high moments, but how I got to these high moments that I'm at right now, currently as we speak right now, this is a great podcast that I achievement already of myself. I want to show you how I got here.
Right.
Yeah. I had to go through all these loops, and it wasn't easy, and I didn't figure it out until like I was 27.
Yeah. So, and you want to what I'm put it out there, like, it's never, you never know when it's when you're gonna know, you know, right? Like, you never know when that mental switch happens. It happens to some people have it at 16, some people have it at 50.
Yeah.
You know, so it happens to everybody at different times of their life. But I think the conversation isn't had enough, because it's too focused on the glamour, too focused on
like you said, it happens sometimes. It happens 16, sometimes it happens at 50. I think more often than not, it happens at 50 or 60 or way tragically late in your life.
So I would agree.
Right.
I would agree.
Because people were taught, I got to just keep all this stuff inside, bottle it up. And then now anxiety is a thing people can talk about. Depression, you know, there's 50, 60-year-old people, 80-year-old people who are like, oh, I might have depression, and like looking into it and being open about treating it and like talking to a therapist. And it's like, it's sad, but it's exciting that like we're trying to destigmatize it as a society, to the point where if you're feeling this way when you're 12, you can start talking about it, you know. You don't have to, you know, when I was younger, man, you were a pussy,
right? That's what you got told.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing out of it too, to go back to Jose's point about sharing the story, is there's other men out there who don't realize, and now know, hey, I'm not alone with these thoughts. You know, like, it's okay to feel these thoughts. You know, it's all right for me to feel this way. And I would sense comforting and, you know, makes you feel a little better to know that somebody else out there that went through the same situation as you did, and you could
it's validating,
you know. Yeah. Talk it to gets
someone. Rid of, it gets one rid thing of one thing I like to get across to everyone is like everyone has that chatter in the scalp in the head, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm trying to see about how can I help you if I cross your path to lower them and know that those are not real.
How to take away your own your own enemy, your own voices in your head.
But and also reinforcing that there's nothing abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
Every human being.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. I still hear them.
Yeah.
Still, but the thing is not to make them feel like they're real. Like that's how you're supposed to really feel.
They don't have, you know? They don't. You take away the power that they have over your day-to-day mood.
Day-to-day, exactly.
Which is,
perfect. That's the perfect.
Which is, you know, really crazy to say, but it happens to a lot of people. I know we all deal with that. I think, you know, even to this day, some of us are still dealing with that. How to separate you and your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and how to say, oh, this is a choice that I'm making for me and not a choice that I'm making because of these feelings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think talking, I mean, this is the crazy part, but sometimes you just got to talk, whether it's talking.
Absolutely, dude.
You know, mm-hmm. to yourself to figure some things out.
I had a friend who was just got like 3 nights in a row, just got really, really drunk, like blackout drunk. And I'm like, the next day, I'm like, yo, is everything all right? Are you cool? Like, is, you know, I'm just checking up on you. And he's like, yeah, dude, you know, it's the same shit as always, you know, loneliness, all this other stuff. And I'm just like, he's like, there's no point in talking about it. I'm like, no, bro.
Right.
We could have the same conversation every day and it's still helping you just by saying it to somebody else.
Yeah, man. A lot of people, I think it's a little easier to go to the alcohol, you know, and sometimes it gets a little worse to go to substance abuse to feel that normal, you know, to kind of shut up the thoughts, to be honest. That's what it does. It, you know, when you drink, I know for me, when I was going through situations and I used alcohol for that, I would get drunk. And at that moment when I was drinking and stuff,
it was great.
It was great. I didn't hear nothing else. But as soon as I was at home and alone, it just, you know, big old smack to the back of the head. It was, you're like, hey, we still here. What's up? You know, so I think not talking and keeping it to yourself actually makes everything a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's openness. And you got to. This society's so cool right now because we're judging less and less and less, at least American society. And I think it's starting to see the beginnings of a road that we're headed down where you feel like you can say anything and you're not going to get judged. And it still happens a lot all the time.
Yeah.
But it's better than it's ever been. And I'm really excited to see where we're headed because...
Me too.
And stuff like this helps, guys. Like the fact that you guys came up with the idea for this podcast. This is like part of building that road where... You can express everything you're feeling and not be made to feel stupid or weak.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point of it right here, to talk about these feelings that we wouldn't talk outside. This is conversations that we would have in private alone that now we're deciding to put out there to the public because there's somebody else that wants to have this conversation that maybe this would help them move forward and reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
And speaking about reaching out to somebody, that's a great thing right now. There's a lot more outlets for you to find and look up, to find somebody to talk to find some help. And I mean, if you can't find nothing, hit me up, you know, hit me up. You could be a stranger. It's fine. I'll have a conversation with you. You know, there's outlets. You're not alone in this world. It's this world is overpopulated. It's people all over the place.
Yeah, you can't escape people.
Yeah.
You're never alone.
Yeah.
You're never alone. That's for sure.
You're not alone. So, you know, let's end this on a little positive note. You know what I mean? Speaking about positive notes and not being alone, I want to remind you guys we're still doing the Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. We'll hold us to it, man.
You know, just a quick reminder on some of that. We'll help out some people. Yep. And hopefully if this helped you guys out, you know, we're all here for each other. Got to spread a little bit of love within each other.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up, boys.
All right. Well, you know, thanks for listening. We're in the circle.
We're here every week.
Hey.
You're supposed to say we out.
We out.
Trash.
That's just all that positive stuff.
Nah, bro, you suck, dude.
Here's some criticism for you.